This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Ain't nothing I can say, nothing I can do. I feel so bad, yeah. I feel so blue. I got to make it right for everyone concerned. Even if it's me, if it means it's me, what's getting burned? 'Cause I could never make you unhappy. Time would come, I'd have to pay for my mistake. I can't blame you for what you're doing to me, girl, even though my heart aches. Your dreams have all come true, just the way you planned. So I'll just step aside. Helping hand me, 'cause I can never make you unhappy. No, I couldn't do that, girl. Only when I can love you so, makes it so very hard to go. 'Cause I love you so.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Right here in Hawaii, we're looking out. It's foggy, smoggy, cloudy, but still beautiful. You can see the silhouettes, and I understand there's a fire up around top of Pearl City there. I guess they would call it Pearl Kai as you're coming in, adding to the smoke in the canyons and in the air. There's a couple of things that I want to share with you. We're definitely going to talk about the election process and the after effects or the aftermath or the tsunami of nonsense. And I don't know about you, But I've expressed myself on many occasions how disappointed I am in government, because supposedly they got in to do what's right, to carry on this democracy and preserve it and nurture it and do all of that. But something's afoot here. They're at every level of government, state government, county, city, whatever you want to call it. They're taking us for a ride, folks. And the sad part about it is they tell us to put our heads down and just go for the ride and make no noise, don't disturb the driver. He knows where he's going. He has his orders from someone. And the problem is we don't know our destination, but assuredly, wherever we're going, it's going to be costly. And that is the case. This voting situation is nightmarish, frightening. I mean, it's bad. You take, for example, we celebrate Dr. Martin Luther King, and we often hear quotes from him, and we know that the NAACP was involved, the National Advancement Association Advancement for Colored People. And an interesting observation here, you can't miss it, is that nowhere in this activity, or this flurry of debates or discussion, now, unless I've missed it, and if you have an example or some hard proof, that we've heard anything from the NAACP on this matter. It's a shameful, I would say, missing in action, but there was no action. There's never been any action. And unfortunately, and those of you that wish to throw rocks at my car after saying this, I'll give you the license plate and tell you my route of travel so you won't have a difficult time, because I've come to learn that the truth hurts. If there was a Smokey Robinson concert in town, the NAACP would be there, and they'd be on Facebook, and they'd be smiling with Smokey, or whatever, some fancy person coming along. But unfortunately, in these instances, we're getting some very, very mixed messages. When you know that the NAACP and the voting rights is rooted in their actions long, long time ago, which isn't that far. But apparently the local chapter on any of the social issues of significance, as you know, I shared with you that there was one where the words, I'll just, for the you sensitive ears out there, the N-word was scribed and inscribed on the car of an individual, and they being the NAACP representatives, tried to escalate that and exaggerated what really took place. And as we reported, you can see that at carolcox.com, claiming it was racial hatred and what have you. And the young man that was the victim or target clearly stated he wanted no part of it. It wasn't racial hatred. It was an issue between he and another African-American male involving a woman. So I offer that, so any of you out there geared and hot under the collar and want to call in, please do so. I'm not backing down on that. We have issues such as HB 444. We have ADA. We have all kinds of issues. Issues facing the blind, the handicapped, the bus issues. Where is the NAACP? If you really need to get in touch with them, just look to see what new artist is going to come to town, and you're likely to find them there, but not doing what they are in their mission statement as a nonprofit organization, responsible, and this is theirs now. And they've done it. I'm a lifetime member. I believe wholeheartedly and religiously on the national level. But something is happening here. What does that have to do with voting? Has all things to do with voting, because if any single person whether black, white, green, whatever skin color, whatever ethnic background, the NAACP should be leading the charge. We shouldn't have to try and find their chameleonic character or their color or what pattern they're wearing today. We should be able to notice and identify them in any issue when it comes to social issues. So at this hearing that was held on the 27th by the Elections Commission, mind you, I will describe that loosely as a hearing because that's what we've come to call it. It was not a hearing. It was yet another effort on the part of the state government to throw out any inquiries, any valid, any reasonable, any responsible response that they may get. They shirk their responsibilities by diverting. And if you want to see a sad host of characters, a collection, I don't think you could have put together a collection of people that have such a monumental task, and they approach it with such mealy-mouthed backslapping. Take, for example, one of the commissioners in the hearing, the quote hearing, acknowledged that Martin Luther King, Dr. Martin Luther King, was a hero of his. And another one proclaimed that her family worked in the civil rights movement. Well, it seems like the apple fell far from the tree because, you see, the solution to this was to, as part of this solution and approach to this, these issues regarding the missing ballots or the lack of ballots, the issues on the Big Island and other polling places, she proclaimed that her family was active in the civil rights movement. So, in other words, basically, from the same crowd that says, my best friend is colored. It just, the real issues are about us. We need to figure it out. We need to be more aggressive. And if the commission, if you think that putting a subcommittee together is the answer, it only answers and serves a purpose of diverting and covering up, in my opinion and my observations and based on the information. For example, I sent two letters and letters of complaint and asking specifics. Well, they hadn't received one of them, but they received the other. And then I'm being tasked or challenged, rather rudely, I might say, by this Danny Young, who's one of the commissioners. And rather unkept fellow, it appears that he more is preoccupied with himself and the mission of whoever it is gave the orders to cover up. And that's what this is. And I will elaborate on this and have documents I've received and recovered, about 500 pages, I'll say. And I will post these up so that you can be better informed and see what went on in the primaries, for example, at Big Island. And you can go to carolcox.com, carolcox.com, and you can find those documents. And I want you, what I say here is just, you know, me on occasion just going way out there on the limb and taking the pleasure and the liberty of saying what I want to say, but you make for your own group of decisions here that you put together after reading these documents. You will be floored, I believe. But back to this commission. You have to understand that this is something that when I look at, take, for example, the minutes of the hearings. You go to the website, the Elections Commission's website. They're at August, but November is not there. September is not there, those minutes. Speaking of Young, if the original, when we first started looking into this, Danny Young was, his expiration date was, his term was June 2012. I did find a document in the minutes of the May hearing of this commission that he was, there was a question about, it talked about him, it didn't name him specifically, but it talked about the expiration of a commissioner's term. But from there, I did not see anything between the March 15, 2012 meeting, their minutes, to present, that he has been reappointed. Now, they have the right to reappoint, but I don't see anything where it spoke to that. What I did see in those minutes were he was not present in some of the meetings, but then he pops up and he is then part of the meeting. So I'm concerned that, and I could be off the handle here, but I believe that this commission, they didn't need more time to look into this. They had the information, and the media reported that they're motivated because of the lack of ballots. But the Marston clearly said, the chairman said, that he was moved and motivated to create a subcommittee so that they could look into it because of what was the testifiers had presented that day. But all along, you will see that the onslaught and the attack on the city, the county clerk on the Big Island by Scott Nago, and the manner in which things operated there or failed to operate it smoothly. They say that it operated smoothly. Nago should have been fired then based on what transpired on the Big Island. But instead, cover up. And they in fact, had an independent investigation. This is according to their minutes of that situation, and that was in the primaries, which occurred in August 11th. But why did they resort to a subcommittee composed of two of its members who were already familiar and with the facts and should have been and knew the conditions? And mind you, Danny Young was one of those people that seconded the motion to appoint the Nago. So what is happening here, I believe, based on what I saw and the reactions and the handling of these issues and how the situation has developed and unfolded, I believe that this is a cover-up on a magnitude, on a scale larger than anything, and we don't know that because apparently we only start to begin to think that it's a cover-up if, in fact, someone in the media tells us that it is. I believe, based on what I'm finding, it's absolutely 100% a cover-up. And a failure to act properly, to prosecute, to fire, to take action. The entire staff at the Elections Commission should be done away with. There should be a completely clean slate to include this commission. I mean, we might give them a few points if they admire Martin Luther King. That might help a little bit. Maybe we'll let him stay, I guess, with such a gratuitous appreciation of Martin Luther King, but the reality, and don't forget the other one whose parents worked in the civil rights movement. But between you and me, the civil rights movement has no birth date, nor does it have an expiration date, if you want my opinion. But that's just between you and me now. Issues come and they go. But I'm going to share with you, this is the primary of why I conclude, in my own opinion now, that this is a cover-up and the value placed on voting and your right to vote is diminishing. What we have here, let me just, this is the records I received. So what goes on here is, let me just share with you, and I'm going to go through some of the documents that I recovered from the Elections Commission finally. And this is the speaking to the 2012 elections book audit. So they did this. These are the reports that you put together at each polling place. And let's walk through some of these. They said it was smooth sailing for the primary. And I'm going to share with you why I believe that the behavior that has been documented is absolutely enough to fire and ask for total cleansing of that process, the commission and all. And that is at Powhilo Elementary School. This is some of the notes now, description of situation that at these polling places, here are some of the problems that took place. Crystal Del Mirando, emergency ballot bin seal number does not match. Call control center, they will get back to us later. That was the results, the response, and change seal on BSF later. Crystal Mirando, DRE, not working, screen says unavailable. These are the machines that you use to vote. What was the solution? Troubleshooter fixed the machine at 8:25. So remember now, they did open late. This is on the Big Island. 8:40, Crystal Mirando wrote, 01R02 did not have seal on it. Call control center to report the incident. Now, there's lots, but I'm just picking up. Neil Erickson wrote, one ballot booth missing parts. How do you miss parts on a ballot booth when you know you're going to have an election and you know you've had time to prepare? Pueblo Multicultural Center, Susan wrote, DRE voter unable to complete her vote on machine. Issued paper ballot, reissued paper ballot. Samuel Castillo wrote, first, lack of communication from elections control office. Second, gave us precinct officials but do not show up. Third, first time that the governor extended the time poll closed. They are reporting that they weren't informed properly, and some of them were never told that the governor had extended the time for voting. Another one is that this election, for my 20-plus election, and listen to this. This is, you know, we're standing on the outside, and we don't know what goes on, but here's a gentleman named Samuel Castillo. This election, for my 20-plus elections, worked as precinct, VAO, and chairperson official. I don't have nothing to say. But the worst one, period. Note another one he mentioned, no tag for poll watchers, control officers, no control center number before poll open, no payroll sheet, meaning missing many items. Now, mind you, this whole process, you have to prepare and put these packages together. And here's Anna Haynes writes, no payroll sheet. Open, close polls, passwords, no passwords. Also, correction order sheet were in envelope, barely attached to string on voter voted ballot container. Made on payroll sheet. These are simple things you might think, but what it does, if the, some of the polls open late, and we paid people to go to training, and we paid them to be on board and do their thing there. And what happens? This is what we got. This is all under Scott Nago now. Now, he did rescind some of this, revoke this after the primary. But again, things didn't run smoothly, and we're going to ask for those documents. But here's one. Michelle Higa wrote at 10 a.m., phones, there were several numbers given by headquarters. Phones busy signaled and put a voicemail that was not yet set up to receive voice messages. No chairs were on site up on opening and set up precinct. We did not have enough workers, but solved our situation, worked with what we did have. No name tags for several precinct workers. Phone numbers worked out, used 1-869, blah, blah, that worked out. Patients and calls went through in minutes. Chairs came on a 9 a.m. or so after that. Workers that were notified to be at 0201 were not, but nothing could be done. Worked it out, made new cards, signed it with markers, name tags. Okay, good. Now, remember, at the voting place, there's concerns for security. You can't campaign within so many yards or feet and act certain activities. And you want efficiency. You want the voter to be able to walk in, and you don't want delays. These things discourage people. We had no number to contact, another one writes. Then we had a couple of numbers to call. In the meantime, all the phone numbers we were given were not working. And they may say the call is going into a mail. Then we get no answer upon calling all numbers they gave us. This is, I'm reading to you precinct after precinct or polling place after polling place. This is not just one polling place. Daniel Lindsay, right, from Hilo High School, called to headquarters for name change authorization. I was told Elton would call you back with a name change authorization. No call as of 1:05 p.m. Now, remind you, these places open at 7 o'clock. Other complaints that they had advertised that it would be open at 6. The polls would open at 6, so people were showing up at 6 o'clock or earlier, standing in line. But the polls, some of these very polls didn't open until 8, 8:45 or what have you. Again, here's another one at Hilo High that writes, when we receive precinct cans, no items in chairman envelope, no payroll authorization for workers at the precinct, no folding chairs, call elections office to let person know that two workers weren't going to be working, no replacements, the phone line wasn't working when we, I'm going to read it as they quote, was hooked up. We had no contact number for headquarters. The Democrat poll watcher entered building at 6:30. We had no badge for him, not anything about a poll watcher. Daniel Lindsay writes on another one at Hilo High, phones don't work. We try to call, given numbers, there is no answer, or machine says no, not available, or not set up, cannot confirm RAF info, cannot access corrected CO list. As of 7:50, seven numbers been given, but none can be reached on calling back. Folks, this is what the commission in their reports tell us, that things operated smoothly, but you're hearing it straight as it occurred, and the one report after the other. Again, at Hilo High, poll watch came in early, named Derek Anabi. He claims to be a poll watcher for the Democratic Party. He had complaints for campaigner within a violation of the VO took care of the problem. And they here's a one. Michelle Higa Hig wrote, five voters left because there was no, this was at Hilo High, left because there was no answer at the number given by the office. Men and women waited 10 to 20 minutes and couldn't wait to vote. They did not vote here today. They were disappointed that lines were very busy. They apologized, action taken, apologized to the voter, thanked the voter for their patience. I kept on calling up until I got an answer or a voter left and was not able to vote. I understand you are very busy at your stations too. Now imagine when the chairman of the commission and Nago and Nago and others tell you and the media tell you that, well, things were kind of bad, but they operated smoothly on the Big Island. That's not true. If one person, as we know, but here we're talking, they're saying five voters left on one occasion. Now, this is one observation, but there were other occasions left because They didn't have the proper keys. They didn't have the codes. They didn't have the paper. They didn't have the printer. Things didn't work, so the people couldn't vote. So what's the difference, as I've pointed out before, whether you're in Chile, Nicaragua, or wherever, and you're prevented from going to the polls because there are soldiers or gentlemen with guns to keep you from entering the polling place, you don't get to vote, or you lose your life, possibly. Well, no guns, no soldiers, just CEOs and chairmen of election commissions can do it and never flash a gun. People were denied their right to vote right here in these United States. Not because someone took a gun, but I say that there's just too many glaring examples where people were obstructed, had no clear access to voting, and even when they did vote, it was difficult, as we'll talk later on. And so we look here at Robin Radel wrote, no cell phone, precinct can not fill with proper items. And this is at the Edith Kanakaoli Tennis Stadium. This is where one of the polling places. Payroll sheets not in envelope. Key not in envelope, missing worker badges, no control contact number, no code to open machines. Now, remember now, you either got the paper ballot or you have absentee or you have the machines. Well, some people couldn't vote because they had already decided there were problems with the paper ballots and they would vote for the machines, but then the machines don't work because they don't have the code. Should we tolerate this? Is this commission, this subcommittee, going to go and investigate the things that they're responsible for falling to pieces? Is Danny Young, and by the way, they didn't issue them any money to do the investigation. They just said, we formed a subcommittee. And subcommittee equates to substandard values. When it relates to, or as it relates to, the American way, where we should have unobstructed, clear access to the voting booth, the vote, the polls, and what have you. No delay, no interference. Good morning, Marcia. Are you there?
I'm here. One thing that you you mentioned about the chair not showing up till 9 o'clock, legally, you cannot leave the ballots at the polling place if the chair doesn't sign for them.
Mm-hmm.
So if she or he, whoever, doesn't show up till 9 o'clock, that means nobody gets to vote until 9 o'clock because the D.C. team can't leave the ballots.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a long drive from polling place to polling place on the Big Island.
Mm-hmm. And especially if they're not answering the phones when there a problem develops.
And most of those things happen the night before, because part of the job is not of getting them ready, is that those machines
mm-hmm.
and supply boxes are delivered the night before.
Mm-hmm.
They're all in place. Somebody is responsible for making sure that the machines are delivered and that they are in working condition.
Mm-hmm.
Who ever heard of delivering a machine and some of the parts aren't there? That's absurd.
Right. And who ever heard of opening a polling place up late and then give numbers to the workers to call if there's a problem and the numbers don't work and the control center isn't available to even address the problems?
Well, I had that happen once in Wyandotte, one of the polling places. No, it wasn't. It was on the North Shore. And that was when cell phones were new. And they issued all these phones. And the signals didn't. So we had to end up using the landline.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, yeah. That was a long time ago.
Well, we can't find. This, what we have here, is fresh evidence. And
yeah.
The
no,
effervescence of it is one that
these things. Now, the first of all, NAGO, as you know in your report, was notified that they were going to have this sick out or blue flu or whatever you call it,
mm-hmm.
that some of the workers were not going to show up. In those very papers, he was notified of that in June.
Mm-hmm.
So why is it in August comes and you're not ready for that?
Well,
now, he knew, and the counties are all responsible for voting except on Oahu, where the state is responsible and the county takes care of walk-ins and mail-in.
Mm-hmm.
So he knew, the county knew, you and I knew that there was going to be problems, and they didn't do anything to fix it
mm-hmm.
in advance.
Well, this is why I'm concluding, my personal conclusion, based on these documents, the actions and the inactions, and the willingness on the part of the commissioner and the commission to come up with this bogus misstep of a subcommittee, while not funding it, but they did, in fact, employ a private independent investigator to hammer away at the young lady, Kawauchi, the clerk there on the Big Island. And again, ultimately, it is Scott Nagel's and the commission's role if they felt, and these documents reflect that they knew that there were problems.
They
knew it, and they even admonished them and reminded them of training, the necessity for training, the need for training and all. And yet, the only thing that they get being their bonnet about is they wanted to hammer away at her and some of the issues that, and I'll talk briefly about them, but there's something terribly wrong. But you may have heard my opening. And by the way, the listeners, this is Marcia Joyner, and she's been you're a life member of NAACP, and you've operated with SNCC and all others. But you may have heard me, and I'm sure there are people out there about right now, and they're thinking, how can we get the Ku Klux Klan to go burn his house down? But, you know, the facts are the facts. You know, I'm sick and tired of opening my website, and then there's an email of some members of the NAACP and their officers standing there with the Smokey Robinson. And, you know, and yet when the Local 5 goes and protests at the hotel, what does the NAACP do? They go down and have a black tie functioning at the very facility that the people are protesting.
Well, you know,
and
we had to fight them tooth and nail about that. And I told, as I told you, I told one of the board members on Friday
mm-hmm.
that the NAACP since 1909, the NAACP is the oldest civil rights, human rights organization in the United States, even older than the ACLU.
Mm-hmm.
Since 1909, they have been fighting for the right to vote. The National NAACP, and this is what I told the board member, the National NAACP worked tirelessly to get out the vote. They paid attorneys to fight every state, to go to court, every state mm-hmm. that had the voter suppression. And what do they do here? They have a party.
Right.
Oh, I was so mad. Nobody but you and me.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat, and everybody that listens knows I am. For me, Sam Sloan and Kimo Sutton to be on sitting next to each other and on the same side of an issue, it's bad.
Mm.
This has nothing to do with party. This has to do with the right to vote.
No,
have fought for that. People have died for that.
Mm-hmm.
And here's this stupid-ass, oh, I was so bent out of shape about
mm-hmm.
this commission, a subcommittee,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's like the fox and it's gonna investigate why the hens aren't laying eggs. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
A subcommittee with no staff.
Yeah. But
no
now,
money.
Let me stop for a minute here. You also, we're speaking about the NAACP, but there's a couple of other friends that have let us down, and you, in fact, wrote a letter to the Democratic Party, scolding them, and I think it's rightfully placed. Can you share what that letter states, or what motivated you?
Well, what motivated me is that the Democratic Party has on the rolls statewide 69,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
These are card-carrying Democrats. We won, damn it. We won. Yet, they are supposed to, they're in business to take care of, to vote, to get people elected and stuff like that. Yet, at the hearing, I was the only one from the Democratic Party. There's not been one letter to the editor from the party. There has not been one quote from any of the officials of the party about this fiasco.
Mm-hmm.
None. And so, yes, I did write a letter stating who I am, that they know.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it as an official complaint against the party.
Mm-hmm.
For not taking a stand, for not speaking out, and that they have abdicated their role in an election and in the state. That's
mm-hmm.
pure abdication. And yes, I was upset.
Well,
you can tell.
Well, I'm still puzzled that the Democratic Party, but then if it's a cover-up at this level and on this scale, I don't believe you're going to get. They know what's happening. You. When I look, the reason I'm bothering with the primary on the Big Island is to show that we don't know. They haven't released documents yet, and this subcommittee, I'm thinking it's going to be a delay and obfuscating this whole process. But so I decided to go to the primary and pull up these documents and ask for those, and just to say that, let's look at that. It's carbon copy because it's the same players. Marston, as chairman of the elections committee, failed and failed miserably. That is my opinion. And as you know, that while I sat there at the commission's quote hearing, I was being chastised. Now, as a person who goes to testify, that is my civil rights. I have that right to speak, freedom of speech, and the allotted time. I was recognized by the chairman. And what happened there, folks, was that this guy, Danny Young, I can tell you his behavior was consistent that of people that cover up things. And when he challenged me, first of all, he asked the question of me, as I had written a complaint, that the people, the voters, were obstructed. He wanted to challenge and adjudicate my complaint right there. And secondly, then he uttered something in a threatening voice that you don't want to fight. So based on that and the mannerisms and his behavior, suggested to me that I'm right and I'm following the foot tracks of corruption. And I believe that, give you another example why I believe that it is corruption. It is a planned process. They actually, Scott Nagel or his people, met with the governor back in June to discuss various bills, HB, for example, 461. They met and talked about HB 2251 and a couple other bills. So, and whatever else, as Scott said in his email, whatever else Kadia said that the governor wanted to talk about. But here's something funny. They proclaim that everything works smoothly on the Big Island. And this is after all of this, and Kawauchi says it, and with a few bumps. But if it worked smoothly, why did the governor need to make a proclamation to open the polls longer? That's one. But in the general, the governor wasn't asked, or maybe he was asked, but it never was public, to declare make a proclamation to extend the voting polls to be open longer. That seemed to be more appropriate, because you had 51 of them, as they now talk about it, that had a shortage of ballots, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
and they knew. I still, like I asked you the other day, you know, why are they hoarding ballots? He said they had printed them,
mm-hmm.
that they are printed locally, and they had them in a warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell do you need to store ballots? You can't use them the next day. So why didn't they deliver all of them?
Yeah, but
unless there's some kind of hanky-panky.
No, cover-up. Hanky-panky, children play hanky-panky, but
okay.
Grown-ups and government play corruption. But okay. My point is, so imagine, and if all of you could close your eyes for a minute and think like me, and it's a dangerous process, but let's do it anyway. So imagine you know that you have a shortage of ballots. You know that on the Big Island in the primaries, the polls didn't open and there were some problems, but you proclaimed that it operated smoothly, but you have to go get the governor to expand the hours, extend the hours. But you know you, Scott Nagel himself, finds out firsthand, not secondhand or thirdhand, firsthand, that by his equation that he picked or his model, he know that he's 51 polling places short of ballots. Well, he either went to the governor and said, we have this, but then to cover it up, the governor knew that if we make a declaration, then we have to admit that we failed. So let it play out the way it is, and then we will explain as we go. That's what I believe has transpired here, and the lie keeps gets bigger and bigger.
If you remember when Scott was testifying and they asked, well, why didn't you deliver enough ballots? And he says, oh, we'll need bigger cars. He kept making up shit as he went along.
Watch your language now. I got people that go to church right after this hour, and then I got people that when they can come from church, they, you know, so I don't want to offend.
But you know, he kept making up stuff as he went along. You would need to send out enough ballots.
Mm-hmm.
You know how many registered voters there are. And I said it before to your audience, and I said it at the testimony, that according to the Voting Rights Act of 1965, in there it talks about the things that are prohibited. And one of them is not to provide a device for voting. Well, a ballot is a device.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't provide enough ballots for everyone that's registered, then you have committed a fraud.
Yeah.
And everybody across the country was working hard to get out the vote. Everybody. Every party. The Green Party, the Republicans, the Democrats, everybody. So why would you think that you're not going to get a turnout?
Mm-hmm. Now, when we sat in that hearing, and I use that loosely, that was one more step wrong in the ladder of cover up, and
kangaroo court, huh?
Right? Well, giving kangaroos a bad name, they're cuter and more cuddly. But what happened is that when he uttered these things, words such as it was not a problem to get them there. We had them. It was just that we would use bigger cars. We need bigger. And that's just a decision I can make to use bigger cars, something to that effect. And I'm thinking, wait, stop. I thought you said it was a model. So in this process, whatever floats, they just toss stuff out, and Marston sitting there as red as a turnip. I didn't know if I was going to have to hop across the table and give him CPR, because it appears that even his soul seems to know and reflect something more rotten is going on than his approach to this as chairman and how they're handling it. And I'm sitting there looking at this process thinking, if they pull this one off, it's over for the citizens of this state. It's over. That's the ultimate overt act. I mean, they're just laying it on the table and lying to you and telling you everything worked great in Big Island and we're going to fix it and we're going to – the model. And the one, to her credit, did ask, well, what's wrong with just printing – if you know you have 100,000 voters, I'm just paraphrasing, registered voters. Why not print 100,000 ballots? What was his response?
He said that they had them. They were just in storage.
See, and then the lie, but the lie before was that he decided based on the model, he decided not to have as many printed because it was based on the lack of voter participation in the previous year. They debate.
He said in the primary because this was because of reapportionment, they didn't have the right model. And, every time he opened his mouth, something stupid came out.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever this model was. Now, we have been through a reapportionment every 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
This is not new. It is nationwide. The Constitution says every 10 years you take a census, and based on the census, you reapportion. And then, based on that, you tell people where to go vote.
Mm-hmm.
It's done every 10 years. There is a, you know, if he's looking for models, there are models of how it worked before.
Mm-hmm.
And he has been on board because he was a staff member and has been moved up and up and up. So he's been through this. This isn't something brand new.
Yeah, it is. He should have had checks and balances along the way in this process at the primary, and even if he saw them wrong. But instead, the tenure and the tone of these letters to Kawauchi, and I'm not defending her because she had promised to come on, come hell or high water, she would come on, and then I got an email Friday after waiting an entire week practically. Well, yeah. That she can't come because she's moving. So someone obviously
got to her.
Or she was just whistling and crying wolf until maybe we were asked the questions. How did it go so bad?
Yeah. And she was at the hearing. She was first to testify. And she was firing mad. She was just on it.
Mm-hmm.
And to my recollection, the board sat there, the commission sat there, they didn't ask her questions.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, okay, let her rant, you know, and move on.
Yeah, and you can tell, I've been in enough hearings and dealing with people such as that commission to know that it was just an act, absolutely nothing to do with getting to the truth, nothing. And
when you look at this room was full, the chairs, mm-hmm. every chair was taken, all the media was there, and there was, five of us that testified? In that whole room full of people. Now, who were they?
Mm-hmm. Well,
And the League of Women Voters, oh, my God, I was so disappointed with her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're supposed to... I've been a member of the League of Women Voters, of course. And
mm-hmm.
they're supposed to be the watchdog, a nonpartisan watchdog. And her pablum that she was issuing was so mealy-mouthed. No real, like, you really did something wrong and we need to correct it. Not once did she say that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, speaking of Big Island and mealy-mouthed, one statement did, that was, for example, I share with the listeners, on June 12th, 2012, Dominic Yagong wrote an email, and it was to Dennis Onishi. And basically, there were issues where the county, here's a statement, the county council should never get involved in the operations of the county elections, especially during elections year. They were throwing mud left and right within the county, outside the county. The if you had a concern, it says, why didn't you have the courtesy to bring those concerns directly to our county clerk, Jamie Kawauchi? Your personal involvement in attempting to smear elections operations in Hawaii County is suspect, and I will not subject the county council to these politically motivated maneuvers until I get my questions answered. These were Yagong had questions of the commission. So it wasn't just Kawauchi who had problems with Nago, but it was others and within the county. And if
let me say in about that, which I think he was right. Well, we know he was right, but every county except Oahu, every county is responsible for the election on in their county. And he is a county councilman.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw that there's something's not right, and we want to fix it. And Scott kept writing to him with this nasty tone that you don't have any right to question it, and blah, 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 blah. He had every right to question it.
Mm-hmm.
And that, he's the only person that stood up and said something is wrong.
Right.
The only one.
Yeah.
And Scott gave him a hard time about it.
Yeah, well, here's an August 23rd, 2012 letter to Kawauchi from Nago. I'm all over the place, but this is...
That's okay, keep going.
Kawauchi, dear Ms. Kawauchi, in the last couple of weeks, we have publicly expressed our differences of opinion on the implementation and execution of the 2012 primary election in the county of Hawaii. This has caused the public to lose trust in the integrity of the election and question the reliability of the general elections. In this case, Scott Nago is admonishing her and reminding her of the integrity that we should preserve. Yet he operated like a thief in the night on this island, knowing that he had shortchanged, knowing that he is falsifying, making false statements, representation. On one hand, he didn't have enough ballots printed to match up to the registered voters because of a model, but then he tells us later that he did print them, but they were stored in a warehouse and what have you. Now, one of the cases he attacked them on, there was a case where an individual went to pick up a ballot, an application or what have you, and it had been filled out and it was given to that person. Nago decided that was a federal offense, criminal, on, and wanted some serious explanation as to why this breach of security. So yet Kawauchi writes back and says to him, well, you know, I understand, and I'll answer you, but how is it that a warehouse that was under you folks' control, when we went in to look at it, there were ballots and all kinds of voting materials just laying around. What about the security of that? Well, you can't find that in any records. You can't find William Marston asking those questions as chairman. You can't find in minutes of the meeting where there was an investigation as to equal to what they did with Kawauchi.
And you... one of your listeners said that about the foreign language ballots.
Mm-hmm.
And at the hearing, when you asked about the security of the foreign mm-hmm. language ballot, you got all kind of different. And then the board or the commission all
yeah.
looked blank, like they didn't know there was such a thing as a foreign language ballot.
Well, I'm going to take a break here because I've overrun the time, but we'll
Ooh,
come
we
back.
Sure.
And, no, but we'll come back and join me in the second hour.
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on.